Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com, beaconbaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Moving along now, in Colossians chapter 3, we are coming to verses 9 and 10, and we are going to learn reasons for Christians to renounce lying. Now, we've dealt with anger previously, and now we're coming to lying. Anger is one of those sins that all of us need to address. Some have a bigger problem with it than others, but it's something that all of us need to address in our lives, and lying likewise. It's one of those things that, well, we do it more easily than we realize, and perhaps more readily than we admit. I know some Christians say, oh, I would never lie, I wouldn't do that, but it may be that there are certain areas where we are doing so without being fully aware of what we are doing. And so we need to recognize here is another area of the old life that needs to be renounced. And we are dealing, of course, in this whole section with God's way to develop genuine spirituality, opposed to the false way, the erroneous way that the false teachers tried to address that issue that Paul dealt with in chapter 2 when he said their way is wrong. They focus on externals, they add additional rules and regulations that were never given by God, and this does not work. But God has a way of dealing with these things, and it is by focusing more upon things which are internal, in other words, a condition of the heart, rather than just specifically listing and working on the things which come out of the heart. And yet, of course, both have to be dealt with. And so we are going to be doing that on this broadcast on this Friday, October 7. And you know that we depend upon the gifts of radio listeners in order to be able to teach God's Word on this station. Well, here's what we read. Colossians 3:9, "Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him." So, why Christians don't lie? You say, wait a minute, some do. Yes, but why we shouldn't and why we don't do it anymore compared to what we used to do. And the first reason is because God forbids it. Verse 9, the first part of the verse, "Do not lie to one another." Do not lie to one another. Lying is set apart from the list in verse 8. It's a different category. Remember in verse 8, he said, "But now you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth." But now he comes to a new category of sins when he says, "Do not lie to one another." One item here rather than a list. In most of these categories of sins, you have a broad category with a number of different ways to sin in that category. A whole list of possibilities, as we saw in the last one. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language. And up earlier in verse 5, when dealing with sexual impurity, we had fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire. But here we have just one item, lying. Now, we could possibly have constructed our own list We could have said lying, deceit, hypocrisy, false witness, and so forth. We could have, but we're not God. And the Holy Spirit chose to just list one item, which gives greater weight to this one. This one item in this category is equal to the five things that are listed above in a different category. It's kind of that way with covetousness. Remember going back to verse 5, there were four words that described various aspects of illicit sexual activity, and then just one to describe materialism. Again, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, four things, and covetousness, different category, but covetousness, just one thing, covetousness, which is idolatry. So it's somewhat similar here. We've got all these things in the list in verse 8 that have to do with sins of anger and the way it manifests itself in our speech, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language. But now, here's another category. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. And so it's a more emphatic command, perhaps, than the others. Do not lie. Never lie. Never lie to one another is what Paul is saying. Now, what are we talking about? Lying is communicating falsehood with intent to mislead. That's what it is. And it's very common in human activity. Most people think that lying is no big deal, particularly certain kinds of lies. After all, everybody does it. And it's acceptable to lie as long as it's not too big a lie, is the attitude that so many people have. In fact, we even have a term for that, don't we? We have what we call little white lies, as opposed, I suppose, to big black lies, but I've never heard any called big black lies, but we've all heard of little white lies. Things like, you haven't paid your bill yet. Oh, I put the check in the mail this morning. But you didn't, and you scramble to put it in now. And the way we often exaggerate our accomplishments, tell people that we have earned degrees that we haven't earned, the way people embellish their resumes when they're looking for a job, and the way people deal with their tax returns and even with their charitable giving are all various ways that we are prone to lie and many times excuse these things. Well, it's okay to lie to the government. It's okay to lie on a resume in order to get a better job. It's okay to lie about your charitable giving to people that really it's not their business anyway, but since they're asking, I'll tell them what I want them to think rather than what is the truth, and on and on and on it goes. That's one category of lying that is considered acceptable in modern society, the little white lie. And then there's another category that's often considered acceptable, which would be called the well-intended lie, the socially polite lie, the lies we tell in order to make people feel better, or the lies we tell in order to avoid an awkward situation. Better to lie than to hurt somebody's feelings, better to lie than to create an awkward situation for myself or for somebody else. And so we lie to people about their appearance. Be careful about this when your wife comes to you and says, honey, how do I look in this dress? You need to be honest. You don't have to be brutal. There are ways of being honest without being harsh, but you don't have to lie. It's not right to lie. It's just not right to lie. Do not lie to one another. But we think lies in situations like that are perfectly okay. To lie about our health or about somebody else's health. And I'll tell you one that bothers me because I really wrestle with it and I observe it so many times is the way that preachers lie at funerals. And again, it's because this is being socially polite, being well-intentioned. I went to a funeral recently where the minister read from John 14, but skipped over verse 6. It was so glaring, I wondered why everybody didn't notice it, but I don't know anybody else who did. Read down through verses 1 through 4, then skipped over 5 and 6, and then went on to some other things. Now, what is the problem with verse 6? Well, that's the one where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. It seems to me like a funeral is a wonderful opportunity to proclaim that truth. John 14 is a scripture passage that is very frequently used at funerals. We might be tempted to say is expected to be used at funerals. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we do not know the way. We do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now, why did that particular minister skip over verse 6, 5 and 6? 5, of course, leads into 6. Well, I didn't ask him, but I suspect because that verse can be offensive to people, particularly in this day of inclusivism. This idea that Jesus claimed to be the exclusive way to God, no other way to God except through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Well, that could be offensive. That could offend people. So we'll just read the part that couldn't possibly offend anyone, just make everybody feel good, and leave out the part that offends. Now, that's one way to tell lies at funerals, but the way that really concerns me is how many times people, pastors, preachers, think it is acceptable, even expected, and it really is by many people expected, that you declare the departed person in heaven regardless of the evidence. But that's just expected. Find something, anything, that you can hold up as evidence that he's in heaven, and you, the phrase is, preach him into heaven, him or her into heaven. And that's what happens at funerals so many times. And most people, certainly born-again believers, understand that a lot of times that's questionable, and sometimes it's just obviously an outright lie. The best you can say in some situations is, we pray that God, who is a merciful God, may have come to him in the closing hours of his life and brought him to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We know it can happen. We all know about the thief on the cross, but from the evidence of his life, there's no way to feel confident that he's in heaven. It's an awkward situation, to be sure. So, what's the solution in awkward situations? Well, for many people, the solution is lie. And if you do it for a socially polite and acceptable reason, it's okay, right? If it's a well-intentioned lie, it's okay, right? No, it's not. It's not. Do not lie to one another. How about the lies that people tell when they have a loved one who is in poor health and the doctor said, you've got a disease that you're going to die from, only the doctor doesn't tell you, the patient, that the doctor tells his husband or wife or his loved ones that, and they refuse to tell the patient. I can't believe that. They lie to them. What did the doctor say? Well, he said you're going to be okay. Well, why did you tell her that? Well, I didn't want her to be worrying. You're lying to her. That's not the truth. That's not what the doctor said. Oh, my. The lies we tell and excuse them and justify them. May God help us. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.